This is Pop Culture Confidential, and I'm Christina Yerling-Biru. I think I do like an hour.
Do you think an hour? I know. I'm not great with insects. I mean, I think I'd stay positive for a week or so, and then I'd be done.
That's Daisy Edgar Jones and I discussing how long we think we'd survive on the marshlands of North Carolina, as her character Kaya, the orphan child, does in the global bestseller and new film adaptation of Where the Crawdads Sing. Hey everyone, welcome to Pop Culture Confidential and this interview with the wonderful Daisy Edgar Jones. She says she'd survive about a week, but I would not underestimate Daisy Edgar Jones. At 24, she's already wowed audiences and critics in some really interesting roles. She's been working since she was a teen, but she really burst into major stardom during the pandemic in the adaptation of Sally Rooney's coming-of-age story, Normal People. And now we're only halfway through 2022, and she's playing three really interesting characters. One in the Sundance favorite Fresh, which is a black comedy horror film about the modern dating scene and a young woman who ends up in a cannibal cult. She stars with Andrew Garfield in the TV series Under the Banner of Heaven, which is a true crime drama about a murder in a Mormon community. And now as Kaya in Where the Crawdads Sing, a young girl abandoned and caring for herself in the dangerous marshlands of North Carolina, suspected of murder of a man she was once involved with.
In town, they tell the story of the marsh girl, the one who grew up alone in the wild. But they never really knew me. Like most stories, the facts don't weigh into it. I didn't know how to do life. You didn't see me here. I was better off learning from the marsh.
Hello, Miss Kyle.
I hear y'all by muscles. No, they never did
see me here. The marsh taught me how to survive. But it couldn't teach me everything.
You can't live alone in the marsh forever.
Watch me.
All right. Into the mist, into
the clouds. It's dangerous to live out here alone like this.
I'm fine.
You're something else, ain't you?
Miss Catherine Clark is charged with the murder of Chase Andrews. Prosecution has announced it will seek the death penalty.
I'm going to get out of here. One way or the other. Carolina
knows. I started by asking Daisy Edgar Jones about Kaya, one of a few survivors she's played this year, and what drew her to this character.
I think Kaya, you know, is such an exciting character to get your teeth into as an actor, because she's under this extreme circumstance. You know, she lives in this marshland and has been isolated from such a young age, and then is placed in this environment that's so hostile with the courtroom and being accused of, obviously, of murder. And so there's just a lot to play with there, really, because she's a multitude of things. She's a very resilient and strong person, but she's also incredibly gentle and quiet and curious. And so as an actor, it's fun to find all those different qualities.
You've also worked with some incredible filmmakers, from Mimi Cave to Olivia Newman, of course, not to miss Sally Rooney and her voice. Is working with women something you've looked for when you've...
I think I've always just looked for really brilliant filmmakers that I'm inspired by. And I feel excited that a lot of them happen to be women, and that women are being able to take up that space a little bit more now. And I hope soon it won't be a remarkable thing that women are behind the camera in a multitude of ways, in lots of roles and leadership roles. I hope it will just become normal that there is representation in, you know, in every way behind the camera. So it's very exciting, and I also, it's fun to have worked with filmmakers at the beginning of their career too. You know, both Livy had made a film prior to Crawdads, but this is her first sort of big studio, and Mimi, it was her first feature. It's very fun to work with filmmakers at the beginning and be with them on that journey, as I'm in the beginning of my career too.
Reese Witherspoon is the producer on this one. And I mean, she's by now a multi-hyphenate mogul. She's one of the most powerful people in Hollywood at the moment, but she also has book clubs and all this. There must be a catch somewhere. She's like three people at once. But she's also a Southern Belle from Louisiana, where this was filmed. Did she talk to you about sort of the Southern aura?
Well, it was so fun. Reese came to visit us on set, and I grew up watching Reese as a child, so it was very surreal to meet her and very exciting. But then there was also like a hope that she would be okay with my accent, which I think she was. But it was really exciting to get her insight. She had such a clear idea of that story and that character, and also like what we were talking about before with women taking up that space a bit more. You know, what she's done with Hello Sunshine and her production company is really exciting and important, because she really does want to put complicated women at the forefront of her stories, and then also empower them behind the camera too, which is so important.
And what did she talk to you about the South? I mean, the Deep South is a very particular place. It's beautiful, but I suppose it's a harsh place to film as well.
It certainly was. It's not the easiest environment to film in, that marshland in particular, you know, which it was really helpful to actually be there, because Kaya, as a character, has such a love and respect for that environment, and learns so much about the world and her relationship with people through her observations of nature. In particular, that kind of, I guess that nature has no judgment. It's just, there's no sort of right or wrong or fairness. It's just survival, really. And I guess being treated with such hostility and judgment by the people in town, there's a safety in that with her relationship with nature.
I think you've mastered like three or four English dialects at this point. Talk about working on the Southern one, because that's very specific.
It was specific, which actually I found really helpful and a lot easier than the general American sound, which I also had to
do. Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because in the UK, where I'm from, you can walk 20 minutes up the road and have an entirely different dialect, and we're very good at hearing that and also understanding a little about someone initially just from the way they speak. Whereas in America, in particular areas, you obviously have that very strong regional sound, but you also have such thing as a general American or a general sound, which we don't really have. So I think the North Carolina being so specific, it was easier to hear it and catch it and tune my mouth into those shapes rather than trying to actually work out what is different about the general American.
Okay, so it was more of a study, so to speak. And how long do you think you would survive? I'd do like an hour.
Do you think an hour? I know, I'm not great with insects. I mean, I think I'd stay positive for a week or so, and then I'd be done.
Reese would be like for weeks.
Yeah.
This movie is also about the power of education and about reading, very much so. And
you've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I read about you that you started working so early, and when all your friends started going to uni, you really wanted to sort of keep with education, and you worked with your education through podcasts. Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, I think that's such an interesting point, which I haven't really talked about, which I love, which is the power and the gift of education and reading and how it can help you understand.
It
and
opens
also,
her whole life.
It
really
does, totally. And the ripple effect is huge. And also, I think reading is the best way to gain empathy, because you can understand that you're not alone in the way you feel, but also you can enter into somebody else's inner life and read about an upbringing or an experience that you might not have had being where you're from. So it's so important. And yeah, I guess when I was 18, I got into university and I was debating whether to go, but I'd already had a couple of lucky breaks with acting, so I didn't know whether it was sensible to take myself out of auditioning and things like that, so I decided not to. And I did the Open University for a little bit, where you do sort of at-home study.
More Zoom.
Yeah, exactly. More video online. But then, yeah, listening to podcasts and reading, I guess I just always hoped that I would be able to, like, hold my own with my friends who had gone off. And...
Oh, I'm sure you do. But what were you reading? What interests you?
Gosh, well, a mixture. I mean, at the time, it was art history and sort of, yeah, I always found that very interesting because it takes you into lots of different arenas of study. Like, you can learn about kind of architecture and how that's influenced the city and time period and things like that. So it was art history at that point. But then I love a psychology podcast. I love it all, a mixture.
Reading this book, I'm not sure exactly at what point it came to you. Had you read it long before, or was it when you were thinking of doing...
It was during auditioning. So it was actually a strangely cyclical experience because I, in 2019, had got a job on a series called War of the Worlds and got my audition through for Normal People and was reading Normal People desperately.
Well, that's three different genres in
one. Yeah, I was reading Normal People, like, on, you know, in a car, doing a car chase scene, like, trying to read Normal People. And then my friend Bio auditioned and played Connell in my self-tape. And then... a year later, I was on set of series two of War of the Worlds, got Crawdads, was reading Crawdads on a spaceship, and, like, my friend Bio played Tate and Chase. So I owe my whole career to Bio, and also seemingly War of the Worlds. I get very lucky when I'm on that job when it comes to novel adaptations, it would seem.
I understand that you really want to play a villain.
I'd love to play, I guess, a mixture. Like, I think I would love to play characters that are very different from ones I've done before, and... I guess I've never played someone just purely evil. Although I wonder, it would just be fun to play somebody very, very different from me.
And do you know what you're going to do next?
Yeah, there's a few projects that I have lined up, but nothing that's been announced.
What's his Instagram? I want to stalk a little bit.
He doesn't have one.
Say what?
Yeah.
Oh, no. See, that's shady.
Let's play a game. Tell me something you don't want me to know.
I hate this.
Okay.
Put all our hopes of finding happiness through someone else.
Yeah.
Girl, you are all digmatized and I haven't even seen this dude.
What's going on?
I'm gonna tell you, but you're gonna freak out.
No, this isn't happening.
Yeah, it's happening. No games. Know what you wanted?
Now, that was from the movie Fresh, a really dark comedy about the modern dating scene and, should we say, the meat market. What appealed to you about that role?
I began mostly in comedy when I was younger, and there was something, I found the script incredibly funny. I mean, it's absurd at times and quite shocking, but it made me laugh a lot in a way that, like, I would laugh at a scene and then feel bad for laughing because of the context. But I'd never read a script like it, and I thought it would be a fun one to do, really.
I thought it was really interesting to see these two films so close to each other because I find these women to be real survivors. They start off, they're in very difficult situations, but no one is going to get to them. That appeals to you, I guess.
That experience of feeling underestimated or underestimating yourself. And I don't know if that maybe is also quite a female experience of, you know, not always feeling like, you know, you belong or in a circumstance or have the strength to overcome it. And I wonder if that maybe is why. And I also like that idea of, like, a character that you wouldn't expect to be the one that would survive a situation like that, and how, when you're put in that moment, how you are able to overcome it and whether you can, you know.
There's a piece of advice you got that I read about. I think it was your father that said it, and it was about taking things seriously, but not too much, or something like that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think the phrase that, or the piece of advice I got, which really stuck with me, was take it seriously, but wear it lightly.
That's it. Yeah. That's a great piece of advice.
It's great. And it really works in life too. Like, you know, take something really seriously, work really hard, try and throw everything at it, but also wear it lightly. It might not go the way you expected. It might not work out exactly how you planned, but you also might really enjoy it and have fun and feel playful and creative and enjoy the experience. It doesn't always have to be heavy. And so I guess with certain characters, particularly the ones I played last year, were all in quite extreme, stressful yes. circumstances. If I were to take all of that on, I don't think I'd be very well. So
would be a bad year.
I wouldn't be in a great place. So I think being able to have a laugh where you can and jump into it and fall heavily into it between action and cut, and then come right out and be pleasant to be around as well, you know. It feels like people are usually method when it comes to playing characters that are not always that nice. It would be fun to be method if your character was just cheerful all the time.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful way to be. I don't think all actors are like that, so
yeah,
it's good to have you on.
Good to take that into life too.
What are you hoping that this film, how will it resonate, particularly to young women?
I think there's many themes within the story that that, you know, can resonate widely, especially with young women. I think a character like Kaya in many ways is really important to see on screen. I think her strength and her ability to stand up for herself and her resilience. But I also hope audiences, you know, there's a lot in the story that's quite exciting and unexpected too. So I hope they're left with a feeling of like...
Yeah, there's quite a few twists.
Yeah.
It's a nice romance.
Yeah.
So do you get to be in Reese's book club now?
I think so. I hope so. I need to give her some book... I need to get... She's great to get recommendations off. So, but yeah.
I'd be calling her. Thank you so much, Daisy.
Thank you.
Thank you
nice
for
to
me.
Chat to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much to Daisy Edgar-Jones, and catch Where the Crawdads Sing in theaters. This is Pop Culture Confidential, a part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. Subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts. See you next time.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Calafato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.